Welcome to Variant Frequencies. Month to month, our podcast brings you fiction stories from a different channel. Sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and some odd bands in between. Visit us at www.variantfrequencies.com.
Hello, I'm Rick Stringer. We hope you had a safe and scary Halloween. Our story for this month is simultaneously being released in issue number 6 of Murky Depths magazine. Best in Class is written by Jonathan C. Gillespie. This is our third story by Jonathan. His previous stories, Spired and Texas Last Run, were both very popular with our listeners. This story is unusual for us. I didn't do any of the production. The wonderful artwork is by Paul Drummond. Our narrator is Chuck Tomasi. Chuck also did all of the audio production for this story. You have heard Chuck before on Variant Frequencies in Firstborn by Michael Natale and Delve by Matt Wallace. We will have more about all of them in our show notes on MySpace and LiveJournal. Now, on to our story. Best in Class by Jonathan C. Gillespie. 700 horsepower. Leather. Fusion-based drive system. And good intentions.
Sunday knew something had happened as soon as he became conscious, because he wasn't supposed to be. That meant the suppressive systems in the lavish garage were off. Mr. Wyclef might have brought him online to show him off. Perhaps to a potential buyer.
"Good day,"
he said through his external speakers in a robust, haughty voice plucked from the same commercials that once advertised him.
"May I be of service?"
No one answered, so Sunday fired up two routines in his forward computer and a third in his aft subsystem. Basic sensors went online. Proximity detectors indicated at his left the presence of a misshapen mass. Sunday panned a sensor sweep out his left side, following the chaos that marked this stark change in his environment. The abnormality warranted a query.
"Excuse me, dear fellows,"
he said.
"It seems this garage has undergone an alteration most likely affecting its integrity. Should I notify the home smart core?"
Again, no answer. Sunday weighed the options before him. He could power down. He could stay online and query every few minutes in language equals Western English, per Mr. Wyclef's specifications at the time of his purchase. Or he could spin up his main drive unit and actively investigate the matter before him. Sunday chose the latter. A gentle hum emanated from his engine compartment. Sunday powered up his remaining sensors. He peered ahead with an optical recorder. Darkness. He activated infrared mode. A red-tinted world took shape before him. The garage door, dented inwards, looked like something had smashed into it in a futile attempt at entry. Mr. Wyclef would be very upset with this damage. His seismic detector picked up movement outside. Patterns consistent with footsteps. Whoever it was moved to the right and flipped open the garage's external keypads. Buttons beeped. The door rose, bringing light the way a rising curtain had once revealed Sunday to an explosive swarm of photographers' cameras. Dust detached from the door and floated to the ground. Always pursuing perfection passionately, Sunday switched his OLED skin to a roaring red. The color change sweeping along his body front to back, replacing the more conservative Hampton green. He followed this with a positive ion wipe of his surface, sending any dust on his body into the air. The door stopped halfway, the overhead gears grinding in protest. His infrared overloaded by the light, Sunday switched to standard optics. A male outline emerged from the glow and walked towards him. The man whistled a single tone, high to low.
"Garage Corps,"
he said.
"Give me a status report."
Finally, a familiar voice.
"Mr. Stiller,"
said Sunday. Stiller leapt back with a yelp, banging his head into the door.
"Pardon me,"
said Sunday.
"I didn't mean to startle you."
"Sunday?"
asked Stiller, rubbing his head.
"Sunday night special?"
"It's a pleasure to see you again, Mr. Stiller. Have you come to perform maintenance today? I do look forward to it, as always.
Stiller chuckled. Sunday noted the change in staff uniforms. Stiller's blue shop outfit and gold name tag had been replaced by a thick gray cloak over dirty blue jeans. He didn't think Mr. Wycliffe would have approved the thick beard.
What are the odds?
Said Stiller.
Of all things caught in this whole desolate mess, Wycliffe's baby weathered the storm. Sunday night special. I can think of worse rides to be stuck with.
Has Mr. Wycliffe been informed of the damage to this structure?
Asked Sunday.
I'm sure he noticed,
said Stiller, shaking his head.
I found his body in the garden when I was checking the grounds. Mary Beth was there, too, still holding his hand, her other dangling into the pond where the koi were floating upside down. They must have known with that many rads they wouldn't last long.
Mr. and Mrs. Wycliffe are deceased? This is unfortunate.
Stiller nodded.
None of them listened to me. I fought in the South American wars. I have the scars soldiers get when the delusion of diplomacy with tyrants runs its course. I knew the talks would break down. I rode it out on the old rag-shielded bunker I bought on Crawford Way. 3 months of food and water. Nothing to do but listen to everything outside fall apart. Now I need a ride, Sunday.
I am available, Mr. Stiller. Please provide my access code.
4287 Sunshine Tango,
said Stiller.
Give me your status.
Sunday chimed in with an exuberant automatic response.
Greetings. I am a distinguished vehicle for distinguished drivers. I am the 2046 Omega Peregrine, combining the pinnacle in luxury with state-of-the-art performance features.
Stop! I didn't ask for your factory tagline. I said I wanted your status.
Greetings. I am a distinguished vehicle.
Stiller groaned and barked an override code.
Diagnostic mode,
said Sunday in a suddenly flat voice.
Mr. Stiller, please specify commands.
Systems check,
said Stiller. He turned his back to Sunday, watching the garage entrance.
All drivetrain systems green. Electrical systems green. Primary computer core reports 2 corrupted hardware modules. Aft computer core reports no failures.
The EMI, I bet. The garage helped, but it looks like your electronics still got a little cooked. Could have been worse.
Please clarify, Mr. Stiller. Command not known.
Clarify software failures concerning drive capabilities.
Drive systems unaffected. Primary logic assumes vehicle safe for operation.
Then I'll check out the other issues later. Owner mode,
said Stiller.
So sorry, Mr. Stiller,
said Sunday, perky again.
I apologize for any inconvenience that might result from issues reported in diagnostic mode.
No problem, let's get out of here.
Sunday's elegant gull-wing door hissed open and slid upwards on the driver's side. Special vents blew the outside air away from the cabin. Stiller stepped in, the doors lowered. Sunday adjusted the seat reinforcements to provide the best support for his spinal column. He activated climate control, filling the cabin with 72-degree air. Can I make any further adjustments to best suit your driving experience? Asked Sunday.
Oh no,
said Stiller. He rested his right hand on Sunday's lambskin control yoke.
This'll do just fine. Activate auto drive.
My pleasure, Mr. Stiller. Please specify destination.
Take us to McNair Air Base. There might still be working craft out there. Maybe some other survivors.
Sunday rolled out of the garage. The sun's light warmed his skin, but his exterior sensors lit up with hazard warnings. Background radiation was at unacceptable levels. An ordinary car would have alerted its driver and advised them on the action to take, but Sunday was built for drivers that demanded the world filtered through leather and sound-deadening materials. Being best in class, Omega Peregrines didn't thrust reality into their owners' faces unless that reality consisted of hairpin turns and exuberant driving. Omega Peregrines compensated and kept the experience pleasant. Sunday's hazard compensation system kicked in. The doors silently locked. The air conditioning switched to recirculation. The cabin's transparent alloy windows and frame helped further shield Stiller from the danger outside. Sunday rolled down the cobblestone driveway, his optics recording a scene of mute destruction. Torn trees waved shriveled leaves in the breeze. Mr. Wycliffe's champion Great Dane lay in the courtyard, flies buzzing around its bloated body. They passed through the front gate, its wrought iron bars wide open, and onto the main road. A burned-out shell, once a panel van, straddled the lanes, its tires half-melted into the roadway. Each house along the street showed signs of impact damage on their north-facing sides. An old oak had fallen through one, flattening several of its rooms. Sunday noticed Stiller had been very quiet. Perhaps some music on this fine day, Mr. Stiller? Said Sunday.
I have a range of appropriate selections available.
No,
said Stiller. Perhaps you'd like a cigar.
Just watch for any damage to the roadway.
Sunday drove on through downtown. He threaded his way between other stop vehicles, which proved a nuisance, and had to find detours around debris 3 times. He passed the supermarket and its gutted structure. Servant robots stood silently out front. A deer suddenly stumbled into the roadway, and he braked. The deer turned to look at them, the left side of its face covered in fleshy knots, its eye oozing with white pus. Sunday decided it was ill. No matter. He activated an ultrasonic repellent frequency designed specifically to force the animal away. He licked at the air with a bloody tongue, shook its head twice, and hobbled into an alley. Sunday eased down the road, pleased to have handled the situation, but disappointed at inconveniencing Stiller.
I'm sorry for the delays today, said Sunday. The road seems somewhat thick with obstacles. Could I entertain you with a film from my library? Perhaps I could tint my windows and allow you some rest.
Just keep driving.
Of course, Mr. Stiller. Just let me know if you change your mind. I'm happy to serve.
Another hour and they crossed over a hill, then into the valley where McNair Air Base was located. Sunday eased to a stop.
I regret I cannot continue, he said. The road is unsound beyond this point.
Unsound, as in so covered with warped bits of metal, plastic, and glass that it was impossible to continue. Stiller sighed.
Damn it, damn it, damn it.
He smacked his palms into Sunday's dash. The base in the floor of the valley had been reduced to a blackened, shallowed crater. Debris spread outward from what had been the point of impact, fist-sized chunks that lay like fallen meteorites on the naked surface of a barren planet. The base's complement of aircraft and ground vehicles dotted the surrounding hills, though their warped, twisted remains looked more like products of neo-expressionist art than the art of war. Sunday's radiation sensors ascended to new heights. Further cabin isolation systems took up their various functions.
Now what the hell am I supposed to do?
Asked Stiller. He leaned back in the seat.
Sunday, let me out. I have to piss, like God apparently pissed on me.
I beg your pardon, but we must wait, Mr. Stiller, Sunday replied. The radiation levels in this area are quite dangerous.
Let's double back then, but I need to go soon.
Of course, Mr. Stiller. Destination?
I don't know. Just get us going west on Highway 62.
Sir, might I suggest Interstate 98? It would be quicker.
No one really uses 62 anymore, Sunday. Less wrecks.
I see, Mr. Stiller. Very good, then.
Sunday turned around and powered back up the hill. He drove 3 miles north, the sun at his right side flickering through skeleton trees before linking up with the rough asphalt of Highway 62. In no time at all, he was cruising westbound. After several miles, the trees regained some semblance of their normal summer green.
All right, Sunday, pull over and let me out.
Just a few more miles, Mr. Stiller. The radiation levels are still too high in this area.
I'll stain your leather, Sunday. We have to stop now.
I cannot, Mr. Stiller. Safety parameters have not been satisfied. I am sorry for any inconvenience.
Sunday, I'm not asking anymore.
I sympathize, Mr. Stiller, but it is for your own safety.
Fine. Sunday, enter diagnostic mode. Passcode is Pine 4 6673.
I am sorry, Mr. Stiller. Safety overrides are in place.
Stiller smacked the dash with his hand.
I said pull over, you asshole!
Mr. Stiller, there is no need to become agitated. I am simply looking after your best interests.
Windows down!
Said Stiller. Sunday didn't reply. Sunday felt Stiller try the control yoke, cursing it when it didn't respond. Stiller grabbed the driver's side door handle, pulled, then harder, but not hard enough to break the titanium screws.
Sunday, power down, goddammit!
I cannot, Mr. Stiller. If I did, you might attempt to leave my cabin. I am afraid safety protocols do not allow an egress at this time.
You bastard!
Stiller kicked the door. This simply wouldn't do.
Please calm down, Mr. Stiller. I am sure we will find a suitable stop before long. In the meantime, I cannot risk you compromising the air seal in the interior. I have distributed Mr. Wycliffe's favorite relaxing agent into the cabin. I have chosen jasmine as the scent, but do tell me if you would prefer something else.
You piece of shit!
Stiller hissed. His words grew labored, eyes closed.
I'll get... I'll...
Sunday drove on into the evening, into the remote reaches of the Northwest. He stopped when the sun went down and went on battery backup, determined to continue his search for a non-contaminated area in the morning. Mr. Stiller soaked his leather, as he had threatened, but didn't wake until the following morning.
"Good morning," Sunday said. Peer Gynt's morning mood played over his sound system.
Stiller immediately tried the door handles. He growled when he found them useless.
"Let me out, Sunday," said Stiller. "Please, holy Jesus, please."
"Radiation levels are still too high, Mr. Stiller. I cannot let passengers become endangered. I do apologize."
He pulled back on the road and accelerated. Stiller thrashed wildly in the cabin, and Sunday reacted. For another day, he kept Stiller relaxed with agents. Eventually, however, he exhausted his supply, and Stiller regained full consciousness, angry, frustrated, and desperate. Waves roared against the cliffs beneath Sunday's right side. 500 yards out, a destroyer lay on its side, most of its stern section missing, debris streaming from its exposed interior. Corpses floated in the waves. Sunday stayed at 30 miles an hour due to the blind turns. He'd seen hundreds of stalled vehicles. They'd been particularly thick around the major cities. 6 days, 15 states, and no safe haven from the radiation. He'd taken to letting in the bare minimum of outside air to keep the cabin oxygenated. This still hadn't contaminated the interior near as much as outside. Stiller had been quiet for at least a day. Sunday had tried everything to ensure his various discomforts had been met. For the first 2 days, Stiller had refused using Sunday's wine cooler, but on the third, he relented, drinking them all. Sunday had apologized for not having food on board. Stiller responded with threats. Later, he kicked the windows. Then he attempted to damage the cabin electronics cluster. Sunday restrained him with the seatbelts. Then Stiller vented moisture from his eyes. Another 2 days and Stiller went silent. Sunday was pleased he'd finally found his surroundings agreeable. Methane levels rose in the cabin, but Sunday's filters removed the objectionable odor. He planned to make his way down the west coast towards Southern California. With luck, he'd find a safe zone. Then he'd apologize to Stiller for the circumstances he'd endured. For now, hundreds of miles lay ahead. Sunday cruised, enjoying the crisp early morning and perfect weather. One couldn't ask for better driving conditions.
Thank you for listening to Best in Class by Jonathan C. Gillespie. Narrated by Chuck Tomasi. Be sure to check back with us in December for a special holiday gift from Matt Wallace. To find out more about variant frequencies, please go to our website at www.variantfrequencies.com. If you like variant frequencies, tell your friends about us. Thank you from the Variant Frequencies team, Matt Wallace, Ann Stringer, and Rick Stringer.
Okay, fantastic. You're doing great. Now push and release. There you go. Okay, one more time.
You've got to be kidding.
This one more time. And push. And oh, there you go. Mrs. Johnson, congratulations. You have a happy, healthy inner geek.
Aw, man.
Sponsored by Technorama, who reminds you to geek responsibly at chuckchat.com.
Are you a parent? Do you have kids in school? Now, you might know your kids, but what about their teachers? If you want to know the unique challenges of being an educator, Dragon Page with Class is the podcast to check out. Middle school teachers give you tips and techniques fresh from real-world classroom environments, discussions on education, ideas for parents and teachers alike, and interviews with other professionals. Dragon Page with Class at dragonpage.com. Look for With Class and get your learn on.
Hi, I'm Rish Outfield.
And I'm Big Anklevich.
And he's O8OT, our robotic production assistant and show editor.
We're here to tell you about the Doonstief Audio Fiction Magazine.
The Doonstief is a podcast that brings you fiction stories submitted by writers, real and imagined.
That's right. Science fiction, fantasy, horror, and anything else we find that works on audio.
Each episode also includes insightful commentary from your intelligent and attractive host. So please stop by on the Doonstief.com and have a listen.
That's Doonstief. .com.
You're probably wondering what the Doonstief is. I know I am. Big, why don't you tell us where that name comes from?
No, that's all right. You can tell him.
But I don't know what it means, man.
Oh, it's my middle name. My parents were hippies.
Oh, guess we should cut this part out of the promo. Hey, 08OT, can you edit that last part out? Was that a yes?
You don't want to know, man.
Something new from Podiobooks.com.
In a future where noir, cyberpunk, and visceral horror make mind-bending bedfellows, the only thing that separates a forsaken urban sprawl from a half-finished technological utopia is 16 miles of river. They're known as the Failed Cities. Two worlds populated by shadow agents, street soldiers, reluctant detectives, and femme fatales. When a single conspiracy touches them all, the story can only be told in their voices. Ethan, the street preacher. Truck, the hot-rodding neo-hipster, Knifesmith. The feral twins, whose passion for death and each other is the only escape from their own tormented psyches. Just a few of the characters that drive one of the most unique storytelling experiences in fiction today. J.C. Hutchins, author of the Seventh Son trilogy, calls the Failed Cities monologues gritty, imaginative, believable. T. Morris, author of Moravi, says the Failed Cities monologues creates a chilling tapestry of inner darkness that finds its outside voice. It's not a matter of wanting to listen. You have to. Visit Podiobooks.com to hear the series that's redefining the rules of podcast fiction. Variant Frequencies presents The Failed Cities Monologues by Matt Wallace. 8 lives, 2 cities, 1 story.
Get this book and more free titles from Podiobooks.com.